This message was preached by Afan Erichali during the 2017 New Year Workers Family Retreat with a theme, The Family and Revival, which took place from the 1st to the 4th February at Epqua Good News Narai High Cost Kaduna. For further inquiry and counsel, please contact Refuge Bookshop, number 19 Mayera Road by Navit Plaza, opposite Zidka Model Schools, Narai High Cost Kaduna. Telephone numbers 0703-456-8035, 0805-8455-719. Email thethreshersteam@yahoo.com. Website www.theplaceofrefuge.org. May God enrich your heart as you listen. Amen.
We glorify you tonight for making it possible for us to gather together here on the first day of February, the year 2017. Lord, we bow before you and we prostrate. It is only your power that kept us alive and your power that has kept us going and brought us here. Even as we have arrived, we want to beg you that, Lord, your presence will be here with us all the days that we are going to be here. The children, the outside, the adolescents, the women, the men, everyone. That, Lord, your hand shall be stretched forth towards us. That, Lord, as we look up to you, from those hands of yours, we shall receive great blessings this weekend. In the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, take over tonight. Speak, for your servants are listening. Speak and bring us light. Speak and bring us healing. Speak and bring us salvation. Speak and let the cripples stand on their feet tonight. Speak and let the leprous become cleansed tonight. Speak and let the deaf hear your voice tonight. Speak and let the blind, their eyes shall be opened tonight. Lord, we worship you. Even the dead shall arise from the grave. Oh, be thou exalted. Holy Spirit, let us behold and see what we have never seen before. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. You are welcome in Jesus' name. Take your seats. Fasten your seat belts. It's going to be a tremendous weekend by the grace of God. God has packaged something for you. And I want to remind you that this is New Year Workers Retreat. We expect that pastors, women leaders, men leaders, children workers, all cadre of Christian workers from different places are gathering here this weekend to seek the face of God. Our concern is concerning you. Our concern is to make sure that you are not dwindling, that you are making progress, that you are enlarging, that you are becoming greater, that you are increasing, not shrinking or diminishing. I don't know why you should diminish. God forbid for you to diminish. The Bible said we are the branch of the vine, that every branch should bear fruit. And he prunes us so that we can bear more fruit and much fruit. So if you are not bearing fruit and the years are going and you are older now by 1 year and things are not going well for you, this is the moment of crying out. You cannot keep quiet. Are you hearing me tonight? In the name of Jesus Christ. I wouldn't know why the word of God says we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that will bring forth their fruit in season, and you are not bearing fruit and you are keeping quiet. As a Christian worker, what you are doing is not going. You're a Bible study teacher, your class is dwindling. You're a pastor, your flock is dwindling. It's not that numbers is the real indicator of whether you are making progress. But at least, success is sweet. Is success good? Huh? And God wants us to succeed in our businesses, in our marriages, in our ministries. And if you're not succeeding, it's a concern to God. It's a concern to all of us. And we have come to cry out. We have come to discover what is it that is not allowing me to grow. Why am I not seeing increase? Why am I not seeing enlargement? He says he blessed them. He said, be fruitful. So why must I not be fruitful? These are the kind of things I want to set your mind. So this meeting is not a jamboree. This meeting was called by God with a body in his heart. Yes, there's a depression. But that does not mean that your church, your membership, your fellowship, your group should be depressed. No. If you say the offering is less, I understand. But for the brethren and the sisters in your place to be dwindling, no. So we'll be looking out and praying together. There'll be room for counseling. There'll be room for prayers, much prayer, private prayer, corporate prayer. This weekend is declared for retreat. And I want you to be very serious with God. If a man has a child, and after 1 year is not walking, 1 year, 6 months, is not standing, 2 years is not standing, he doesn't sleep. The father is not sleeping. When you are a cripple, when you have been crippled and you can't move, when you ought to be a teacher, you still need to be taught the first principles of the oracles. Our father is not happy. He said we must go unto perfection. Hallelujah. So tonight, we will begin to investigate, we begin to pray. Don't take anything for granted. There is no virtue in not succeeding. He said, I will give him good success. There is no virtue in marking time. There is no virtue in shrinking. We must expand year after year. And if that is not your testimony, you will need to cry out. We will be looking at different areas. But in this meeting particularly, we'll be asking ourselves, if you are supposed to be married several years now, well, it's not your fault. But you need to cry out. The years are going. Some of you have children. Your children are not growing well. They are misbehaving under your nose. And you are not crying out. We are going to find out. We are going to be begging God. What is the diagnosis of our problem? Everything God does, if he plants a tree, that tree will grow. So if you are going to school and you're not passing the exam, why? Why are you not making progress? Why are the years going? Now that's the kind of spirit I want you to attune yourself to in this hour. That woman said, why am I thus? That other one said, give me children or I die. They cried out. They didn't keep quiet. The other one said, why couldn't I cast this one out? What is wrong with me? What are the things I'm supposed to do? I'm not able to do them. What's wrong with me? And in the mornings, we're going to be looking at the clinics. We're going to be looking at the altar. So every part of the clinic, whether it is single men, single ladies, recently married, widows and widowers, separated, or married men and married women. In the mornings like that, we are going to be discussing about the altar. Without the altar, there is no revival. If there is no fire, there is no revival. And where there is no altar, there is no fire. That may be your problem. We need to correct that. But if you don't come in the morning, you may not be part of that study and clinic. And then several family problems we want to be coming in the morning. When we finish, we sit down with you. I'm concerned. I'm concerned that you are where you are. It ought not to be so. Then in the evening, there's a crucial Bible study. Please make our time. We are studying working together. Many of us, the reason why we have not made progress is because we are too individualistic. You can't go with people. You will soon quarrel and part asunder. We are going to be talking to God and praying as we study together. Nobody was built to make progress alone. No. Two are better than one. We are going to be studying in that context. There are several people that there are reasons why you have not made progress. We are going to be finding out. Maybe it is this family altar. Maybe it is this other problem of not being able to team up with others. You don't have, You don't have everything. And we must learn that. And several other things that God has packaged for us. Testimonies, good praise worship, thanksgiving, and so on, and so on, and so on. They will be telling you as the time goes on. But this is your weekend. I want to say to you that if your trouble is sickness in your body, somebody came here tonight, and already you have a chest pain. It's not ordinary chest pain. There's something happening inside your heart that is slowing you down. That is over from tonight. In the name of Jesus. And after this meeting, as I'm going out, please follow me behind. You cannot run with that burden at such a young age. If you must run with the gospel, your body must be strong. Are you hearing me? So I'm also concerned about your body. And we will be dealing with all that in the course of these few days. So that at the end of these few days, we are now going to face our journey for this year. Are you hearing me? Face your journey with good health. Face your journey with a fire in your bosom. Face your journey with vibrancy. There are too many people who are not vibrant again. They say it's recession. It's not true. I don't think it's a recession problem. We must identify your problem. There's no recession in heaven. My God shall supply all your needs. How? According to First Bank. Eh? According to UBA. According to what? So why are you saying depression? As if God has told a lie. It's not a lie. So tonight we are going to start. And we are going to, there's no ceremony, because we don't have plenty of time. We'll go straight to business. Straight to business. And I will read two passages for you tonight. And I will give you an opening statement or opening charge. Then we shall do some administration so that you can get home and settle down. By tomorrow morning, we are in real business. Real business. Please don't take this meeting for granted. It can become your defining moment. Are you hearing me? And this is Zumunta. Zumunta, are you Zumunta? You are going to be giving us a good song every night. Get all your Zumuntas, all of them, they are coming. they thought they were going to escape. They are not escaping anywhere. You are giving us a good number every night. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Wonderful women with their ding, 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 ding. We want to be hearing it. You can't dodge again. You are part of this meeting now. Somebody say amen. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. The prophet of Zechariah chapter 3. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus said the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep charge, then thou shalt judge my house, and shall always keep my courts. And I will give thee places to walk among those that stand by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, one more passage. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. These are very popular passages. And I see God is going to use them to speak to us tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Let thy garments be always white. Are you there? Okay. Let thy garments be always white. Let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he had given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. May the Lord add blessing to his word. In the name of Jesus. This year we are investigating and seeking God's help to speak to us on the topic, the family and revival. The family and revival. We have been praying for some time now for a revival of religion, for an awakening, for a return to life, for each of us to become vibrant, zealous for the Lord, passionate, for each of us to be on fire. We have been praying that God will revive righteousness in the land, revive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, revive his church. But let me say that every revival starts with you first. Huh? Are you hearing me? There is no corporate revival without a personal revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. There is no corporate revival without, first of all, what? A personal revival. So if you are not catching fire, then we are not going to have a revival. But when you catch fire, then all around you will catch fire. So the first person we are talking about tonight is not yet your family. I'll be dealing with family tomorrow. I just wanted to remind all of us that your family may not be your problem, that your problem may be you that is here tonight. That because you are not on fire for the Lord, you're not revived, you are not passionate, you are not zealous, you are cold and formal, just religious. You read Bible for reading Bible's sake. You go to teach your Bible study class just as a routine. You pray so that they don't go say you no pray. You know, you are just formal and religious. Now, that will not help us. If you don't get revived, then there is no revival. Even your family, which we are going to be speaking about as a precursor to revival, will not have it. The church is made up of people. The family is made up of people. If the individual members in the family are not revived, that family cannot be revived. So, revival starts with you. In fact, when God wants to revive nations, he starts with only a few people. The days of Gideon, only 300 people. He said, 1,000 is too much. Only 300. The days of any revival you see is only a few people that caught fire and then the rest caught fire. So if we don't catch fire, let's forget about revival. And so tonight, if you are here and you are not on fire, you are not having desire for God, and you're a Christian worker, you are not passionate for the things of God, you are just going mechanically. Actually, you are very tired. There's no fire in your bones. As if somebody is pushing you. I want to say that you're a problem. You are the problem. And that's where we'll start our prayer tonight. And I wanted to remind you, that's why we'll be talking about your altar tomorrow morning. Whether your altar has broken down, whether your altar is overgrown with weeds, whether you are living, whether you are dead, and you say you are living. Whether you are living in past glory, don't say, that time. That's a bad testimony. Are you hearing me? Say, that time when I used to pray, I prayed throughout the night, I pray. But now, what is happening now? Now is more important than that time. The future is more important than now, but now is more important than that time. If you are talking about that time, pray that God will take away your life, because there's no need, because you are going down. Let nobody say, in those days, the Bible said, don't say like that. The end of a matter is what? Better. Now is better than yesterday, and tomorrow is better than now. We must keep making progress. So, I want to hear that today you are on fire more than yesterday. That's what I want to hear. Not that time. So tonight, we must start praying for ourselves. The Bible says, and I'm not going to be preaching on that passage again, because we've preached on it so many times. Let your garments be what? And let thy head lack no. This is revival. This is what makes a man to be profitable in the ministry. When your garment is always what? And your head lacks no what? And there's a relationship between your garment and your head. What makes a man to do well in ministry is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the oil. What makes a man to have a sharp utterance? What makes a man to have power? What makes a man to have wisdom? What makes a man to have vision and revelations? What makes a man to do exploits is the oil on his head. But when your garment is not white, your head will not have oil. So tonight we must check. What happened to the anointing? Everything about my life is dry. My prayer life is dry. I don't have desire for the word of God. When I go to teach my class or to go and do evangelism, as if they say they are pushing me. What happened? There's no passion. There's no desire. There's no zeal. I'm just moving about. How many that the oil has finished? I'd like to say to you that if the oil on your head has finished, it's because your garment is not white. Are you following me tonight? I'm not going to spend long tonight, because our topic is not you. Our topic is the family as a precursor to revival. But whenever a man's head is dry, what do you see that is the problem? Huh? There's something wrong with your garment. There is nothing that happens for nothing. If you used to be hot before and you became cold, if you don't know how you became cold, you can never be hot. The Bible says, for revival to happen, you must know, he said, from whence you are falling. If you can't diagnose your problem, there's no prescription that will be correct. Those of you used to be hot before, and suddenly you are dry, you are cold, you are just religious, you are just living, but actually you are dying. Check your garment. Don't go and buy olive oil and do your head like this. It doesn't solve problems. That is not the oil we are talking about. This oil, they receive it on the holy hill every morning at your altar. That's where they release this oil on your head. And once it is there, everything about your life will be flowing, because oil is a lubricant. Are you following me? And technically, once God anoints you, it does not reduce the anointing, only increases it. You will grow from glory to glory. But if you discover that you are diminishing, you are shrinking, your utterance is no longer as sharp as before, the things you used to do before, you can't do them again. Don't blame anybody. Blame yourself. Your garment has a problem. That is why your head lacks oil. Are you alright? Eh? the first diagnosis. If my garment, if my head lacks ointment, my prayer life is dry. My Bible study is dry. My ministry is dry. When I sing, I used to sing, and when I sing, the glory of God will come down. But nowadays, when I sing, it is too difficult. Nothing is happening. There's no flow. When I want to preach, after 2 minutes, I dry up. If I want to pray, I see myself struggling. Everything has dried up. If that is the case, it means there's no more oil on your head. And if there's no oil on your head, what does this mean? What is the implication? Your garment has a problem. Your testimony has a problem. Something happened to your testimony. That is why there are several young men that before they married, they were like champions. They could destroy Goliath. They could do many things. But since they married, their head don't dry. Say, but why is it that after I married, my head has become dry? Because your garment has been soiled by your marriage. Those quarrels, those disagreements, those arguments, those small lies you are beginning to tell, they have spotted your garment. Therefore, your head, the oil is going small. You are not following me again. We will deal with that because it is not to my benefit for you to dwindle. We are a company of people going together, and none of us must become a weak link. I don't care what church you come to, you are my brother. And as long as you are my brother, I want your head full of oil. And if your head must be full of oil, it means what? Your garment must be white. So the Bible says, let your garment be how many times? Always. And let therefore your head lack no oil. I will be coming to verse 2 tomorrow. Because if you don't pass verse 8, you can't enter verse 9. You can't live joyfully, and there's no revival. So if I'm not revived, let me not expect a revived family. And let me not expect that the work of God will be revived. No, let me not expect it. And since it is not the fault of God, what could be the reason why my prayer life is going down? In the morning to wake up and study my Bible is now a task. They didn't used to wake me up before, but now there is drudgery, there is lethargy. Everything is just going down. It's not Buhari. Stop calling Buhari. Some of you are praying for him to die. Stop calling his name. If God wants to kill him, let God kill him, but don't be you go kill him. Are you hearing me? Even if you die, your condition will not change because he's not the one that made your head to be dry. You're not following me again. Stop calling any. Don't say, not this person. Nobody is making your head to be dry. It is because your garment is what? Hallelujah. I don't want you to blame anybody. Say, I used to pray very well. I used to evangelize very well. You see me now? People used to be attracted to my life. People would just come to for counseling. They would just be coming. And I was flowing. But now. Everything don't finish. There is dandruff in my hair. When I comb my hair, I just see white things coming out. There's a disease in my scalp because there's no more oil. That's a concern. Are you concerned tonight? Say before, when I pray for a sick person, I just lay my hands. I will feel the power of God moving. But now when I lay hands, I will see myself falling. It's me that is already falling because the demon in that person just shook me down. And you are not concerned. And the years are going. You're supposed to be getting better till the end. But it's not getting better. But I'm worried. You didn't say to Jesus, why could I not cast this one out? Why am I no longer winning souls? Why am I no longer having desire to host crusades? There are many things I used to do before. Why am I not doing them again? Even to take a book and read now is a drudgery. Now, if that is your condition, I used to have word of knowledge. In fact, when I lie down to sleep, God would just be giving me revelations, vision, trance. This, I was vibrant. But now when I lie down to sleep, if somebody is pursuing me from pillar to post. Every night, they run here. When I get up for morning, I'm tired. that testimony is going to change. Huh? That testimony is going to change from this meeting. This year, you are going to be fruitful. And more fruitful. And much fruitful. And abundantly fruitful. That is the will of God. You can't diminish. Something is wrong. Let your garment be always your testimony, your character, your garment. What God gives you when you are born again is a white garment. He didn't say you should go and wear, you should be wearing white dress every day. No, let your garment, your testimony. What has killed this one is that quarrel. Every day quarrel, every day quarrel, every day quarrel. Every day strife, every day argument. And small things that are beginning to creep into your life quietly. That's what is causing your head to be dry. So I don't like you when we go to pray. You say, that brother, Lord, help that brother. It is you that is the reason why there's no revival. When an iron, pressing iron is not hot. I want to press close with a cold iron. What's the result? What's the result? The cloth is still rumpled. In fact, you are punishing yourself. I don't want God to be punishing himself with your life. He wants to deal with lives. Deal with lives. But, you see how God is struggling with your life. No life has been helped. Nobody has been helped. They are still rumpled. That he may present to himself a church without spot or wrinkle. But every life around you is still wrinkled. Even your own life has begun to, wrinkles have begun to appear. He says old age. It's not old age. They don't grow old in the spirit. Huh? They don't grow old in the spirit. It's only the body that, this my body is growing old. My face is growing old, but my spirit is not growing old. So what is the matter? I see that the first thing God is saying to me in this meeting, the head is lacking what? There's no more anointing. You read Bible, 7 days, 8 days, no revelation is coming. At night, you sleep and snore. Nothing is coming. You get up in the morning, people come for counseling. No freshness. They gave you a Bible study class to teach in your church. That church, everybody, when they start Bible study, they start getting up one by one, going to another person's class. Yeah, have you seen that kind of thing before? That your own Bible study class was 30 before, now it's only 5. They have migrated. Nobody wants to come to your class. People are passing your house. Say, Emma, where did they go? And they come. When I solve my problem, I go come see you. I get problem, but I don't go, don't be here, they go solve them. And they go where they go solve my problem. People are bypassing your life and going somewhere. But you used to be relevant before, but you are becoming irrelevant. What's the trouble? No oil. And because of what? There are spots, wrinkles, there are stains all over your garment. Let's not beg the question. I like to be practical. I want to bear fruit. I want to be effective. I want to see more and more and more effectiveness in ministry. I want to touch more lives before I die. I want to disciple more people and carry more souls. But your own is that even your children that you born in the house, you can't even control them again. Because it's not by cane they control children. If you don't have oil, even your children, you can't control them. If you beat them, your hand will pay you. Where there's no anointing, cane does not work. You will talk. You will faint where you're talking because there's no grace flowing. Jesus had an anointing. The Bible says he spoke a word in season, accuracy in ministry. And the result was always dramatic. Anywhere he spoke, things changed. But you speak. You drink water, your head is dry. Stop buying olive oil. It doesn't solve problem. Did you hear what I said? Actually, that one in your bag, bring it out now. Let's throw it outside the window. Unless when you go home, promise me that you are going to use it for bathing and rubbing on your body. Stop putting it on your head. is not going to help your head. That's not the oil. The oil they are talking about is spiritual. It's not this physical one. Hallelujah. You are not the first person that has had that problem. Somebody has had that problem. In fact, great preachers normally have that problem. In case you don't know, Charles Finney says, anytime he comes to the pulpit to preach and begins to struggle on the pulpit, utterance is no longer there. Things are becoming dry. What he does is to leave the pulpit and go on retreat. So people like Charles Finney, great preachers, wonderful men of God in the old, they have experienced dryness before. But they didn't continue to stay in the place of dryness. They said, Lord, help me, help me. They went back to the holy hill. They went back to the place of the apothecary who pours the oil on people's head. And until they poured it afresh, they didn't come up. But you are trying to cover up what you cannot cover up. My friend, when this thing finish, you can't cover it. You don't cover it with shouting. You don't cover it with any simulation. You don't cover it with gimmicks. You know the reason why some preachers go to native doctor to go and receive power is because the oil has finished. This thing should increase, but when it begins to diminish, oh my God, it's not good at all. God said, when you are cut off from the vine, you will shrivel, you will dry up. Men will gather you like firewood. Look at how men are gathering you now. They are talking about you. These are people that used to be blessed out of your life. You have become a shadow of your old self. But the Lord is going to change it from tonight. In the name of Jesus. The high priest Joshua suffered it too. Let's see what happened in Zechariah chapter 3. I say I will not be long because we don't need to be long tonight. Since we have been talking about ourselves, we just want to remind ourselves that I am the cause of no revival. If I'm revived, my family will be revived. Sister, if you are revived, your husband will be revived, your children will be revived. Fire begets fire. If your prayer life if your prayer life is fiery, no demon can come into your house. Look at how people are falling sick in your house. Today, typhoid, tomorrow, malaria, the other time, leg pain, the other time, headache. Every day, you are spending money in the chemist. Because there is no more fire in your house. Wherever there is fire, snake cannot come there. Say, we couldn't sleep last night. We couldn't sleep last night. I say, for what? Say, the other one just started coughing at 2 a.m. The other one started sneezing. And this my small boy that I'm carrying fell down from my back. Because I was tired. So I do like this. The child fell like that. Thank God it's not working here for ground. This kind of testimony. Where are the miracles that you used to see before? Where are those miracles? In those days, how can Satan enter your house at 2 o'clock in the night? Afflict this one, afflict this one, afflict. In those days, how possible? Where you used to be on fire, you will just jump up and fire prayer. Satan will know that he has no place here. But now, the hedge has been broken. And when the hedge is broken, what happens? Something happened. But something is going to happen again tonight. I'm not talking about all of us. Some of us should be pressing on for more fire. Because you need more fire. Those that know their God shall be strong and they shall do. It's not for certain ministers. It's for all of us. When we are going to study the Bible, you can say all of us have been given gifts by God for profiting with that. God didn't leave us without equipings, giftings, so that we can make a profit. You can't be a Christian worker and you are complaining of anything. No, God will give you all you want. Nobody goes to war on his own account. If anything you lack, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. That's the promise of God. You can't be complaining that God didn't give me this. Then God didn't send you. If he sent you, it will be available. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing where? At his right hand. To do what? Can you imagine this foolish Satan? How can the high priest of Israel stand at the altar to perform sacrifice and burn incense, and Satan is standing where? The hand he uses to officiate. That is where Satan stands. And what is Satan doing? What is Satan doing? Whenever he wants to raise up his hand, what does Satan do? Can you see why the man is finished? And he was before the in the presence of Almighty God with incense to burn. But as long as Satan is here and God is watching this drama, God is watching drama concerning you, how you are no longer effective. You can't raise your hand even in worship. You can't raise your hand to burn incense. You can't raise your hand to lay on somebody. You can't raise your hand to do anything now because somebody is here resisting you. Huh? Huh? And I don't know whether you know that it's not Satan. So we make too much of Satan. Say, Satan is resisting me. Resisting me. Why? Why is it now that he began to resist you? Why didn't he resist you before? Huh? Huh? In my village, they say that when you go to the bush and bring firewood with ant, you have brought ant into your house. That proverb, I don't know whether I said it well. When you go to the bush and bring firewood with ant, what is going to enter your house? Ant. How many that Satan is now standing at the right hand of the high priest? Can you imagine high priest? The head of all the priests. The man that has the privilege of entering into the Holy of Holies. The man that opens the door of the sanctuary for everybody. And look, you know, my problem is that many people were waiting that day. Some people brought goats. Some people brought offerings. They were all waiting for the high priest to pray for them and kill their gods and officiate at the altar. They are queued up. But high priests cannot do anything. Many lives are suffering because of him. They will have grown. They will have become something for God. They have queued up, but you are the man officiating on their behalf. And as long as you cannot officiate, they are suffering. See, they are praying. Their prayer is not going anywhere because the man who is supposed to bring their prayer to God, prayer is incense. And the man to burn it is handicapped. Look at how many things are going wrong around you. Even in your family, even in your house. Because Satan is at your right hand. Either I want to read. Stop that. What are you doing? Huh? I think you need to see this picture. Let your garment be always. Let your head lack no. When you can't raise your hand again to minister, your head has a problem. And you have given the enemy the opportunity to do what is wrong. Because the enemy should not stand at your right hand. The hand of blessing, the hand of ministry, the hand of burning incense, the hand that heals sicknesses. That's where the enemy is standing. The right hand, not the left one. Because there's no righteousness. That man, I don't know how many hours that man stood there. The accuser of the brethren is standing there. He can't lift his hand. He can't pray. Everything is dry. This is a man that whenever he came here before, everybody was excited. As he moved with his regalia, Jang, they say the high priest has come. Jang, problems are going to resolve. Jang. And when he comes and lifts up his hand like this, oh, Israel will just bow. Things are happening. But this today he came. To lift up his hand is difficult. Even to move around is difficult. Nothing is working. I don't know whether you're in that condition. This is the day that the Lord has made. I said, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is a new day for you. To resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, what did he say to Satan? Satan, the Lord do what? Oh, Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a bland plucked out of fire? Thank God for God. And I see God going to work on your behalf tonight. Are you hearing me? That man is not even praying. God is just watching him. After some time, God says, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Get away from here. This is a brand plucked out of fire. A man just coming out from captivity in Babylon. He could have died there. He would never have been a high priest again. Everything would have finished. And I rescued him. And I was going to make him burn in my own fire. And you are resisting him. The Lord that chose Jerusalem, the Lord that chose you, the Lord that chose Jacob above Esau, the Lord that said, I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. The Lord that said, judgment, mercy will triumph over judgment. The one whose purpose concerning your life will be fulfilled. Let him rebuke Satan for your sake tonight. Satan, the Lord rebuke you on behalf of these brothers. In the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. These are brand plucked out of fire. Some of them are going to hell. God rescue them from that fire. Some of them almost finished their life inside the war system. And God rescued them. And they have a few years to live. And we are resisting them. It's just mercy. And that's what we are going to be depending upon tonight. Tonight is no merit. We don't merit anything. What are we going to cry out to God for tonight? Mercy. Come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace for a time of need. If you don't have mercy, there's no grace. It's when you obtain mercy, then grace comes. You know, and I was thinking that the man will now lift up his hand and begin to minister. He didn't. Why? Now, Joshua. What happened to Joshua? Verse 3. What happened to Joshua? He was clothed with what? And all your righteousness, they are what? Filthy rags. Even the good things you are doing are not good. All your righteousness are filthy. Filthy means like a woman's menstrual rag. They don't normally show it in public. That's what you are wearing tonight. Not a white garment. Clothed with filthy rags and stood before the Lord. Oh my God. God has seen terrible things. But because he's merciful. Otherwise this man would have died. High priest wearing filthy garments. And some of you, your own is not only filthy, it is also torn. So people own is filthy. But your own, on top of being filthy, what happened to it again? It's torn by quarrel and strife. Torn garment, filthy and torn. Your garment is not only filthy. In fact, some of us are naked and standing before the angel of the Lord. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him. What did he say to them? Take away what? From him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with what? May the Lord clothe you tonight with a change of raiment. White garments. Fresh. Fresh. Say, take away those garments from that man. I can't even respect him until he wears a white garment. That's the way he should appear. Take away those garments. He's the Lord that is walking tonight. Those garments are, you can't stand there. I don't know what has soiled your garment, but the Bible said, I have taken away your iniquity. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Number one, the Lord knows those who are. Number two, Let all that name the name of the Lord do what? Treasurer! You stole money from the church purse. Depart from iniquity. Counselor! You touch a woman's breast in the vestry. You can't minister again. You don't hear me again. You didn't hear me again. You may call it small, but your garment is soiled. The garment spotted by the flesh. Where you walk, you have done some things that God cannot, He cannot stand before the light of God. You have gossiped and talked at the back of your friend. And you are thinking that you can go on and on and on because anointing must keep flowing. It's no longer flowing. They must move that garment. Huh? That man came to the altar. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Oh, naked come to thee for dress. Helpless loom. Can you see that dress and grace go together? It's all right. It's all right. Naked I come to you for what? Helpless I come to you for what? So grace, dress and grace go together. Garment and ointment go together. When you lose one, you lose the other. That's the trouble, which many of you don't know. Many of you are born into a system of charisma, charisma, charisma. Excuse me, character goes before charisma. Charisma really needs a holy lie. It's the Holy Spirit, not evil spirit. And some of you have the impression that as long as I'm here, the thing will keep flowing. You're a liar. If there's no character, there's no charisma. If there's no dress, there's no grace. If there's no garment, there's no oil. It's a principle. Huh? So when you took your hand and took change from church money and took change and borrowed it so that at the end of the month you will pay back, grace left because your garment became soiled. It doesn't happen quickly. That's why many people are deceived. But it surely is a principle. Huh? You're not hearing me again. Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I will not do what? I will not look upon a maid. But you are lusting after many young ladies. You are lusting after them. And you don't want to go to where you should be helped. Friend, you don't have two lives to live, only one life. And it's going. It's a brand. The fire, the life is burning, burning, burning. It's almost finished. And the purpose for which you are born, to burn for Jehovah, is becoming wasted. Because of secret sins. There's no preacher, there's no church worker that commits sin on the pulpit. It's in the secret. In the secret that you can beat your wife and still come and preach. In the secret, you can touch church money and still come and preach. In the secret, you can do evil in your business and still come and preach. In the secret, that you can tell lies and become a hypocrite. And yet, you come to stand at the altar and people are suffering under you because you cannot lift your hand. Because your garment is filthy. Tonight, I will clothe thee with a change of garment. Eh? I hear the Lord saying to you, get on your garment and serve me. You can't serve God without a correct garment. I'm dealing with white. Maybe we would one day deal with the effort. Deal with the breastplate, breastpiece. Deal with the robe inside. But let's leave it today with just white. But there are garments for which to serve God. And God will not tolerate you if you don't come with the correct garment. See, I've given you a change of raiment. And the prophet begged God, he said, let them also set a fair mitre on his head. So they set a mitre, a fair one, a righteous one, a right one on his head, and clothed him with garments. So tonight I'm not even dealing with garment. I'm dealing with white. Let your garment. But there are other garments. But if this one is white, don't worry, the other ones will come. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord said to Joshua, thus said the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts. And I will give thee places to walk among those that stand by me. Excuse me, there's a place for you in the work of God. Are you hearing me tonight? There's a place for you in the work of God. A good place for you. But the Bible said, if if you will walk in my ways, if you will live a righteous life, if you will obey the word of God every day, if then you will rule my house, I will give you charge. Some of you are competing for posts in the church. There's no need for it. If you walk with God, he will give you a place among those that stand in his place. You will rule his house. There's no campaign about it. When utterance comes, there's no campaign. Even if they don't make you the church something, people will be coming to your life. And that's what ministry is all about. Not position. It's a walk. But when there's no grace, even if they have appointed you anything, people are not going to come. So tonight, I'd like to pray with you. Sorry I've come from this angle. That's how my heart is telling me that, look, I don't want you to be a failure in your life. You see, when you are not doing well, I am not doing well. Huh? We are going together. So if you are not doing well, I'm going to suffer for it. It's a teamwork. I can't do it alone. So once you are not doing well, me, man, I will suffer. Heaven will suffer. Investment will suffer. What God wants to do will not happen. But once you are doing well, everybody around you is doing well. And we are all going together. A joyful band. God is making himself a people of power. The Bible will soon visit our land. We are not waiting for government. Government will not help us. So they have their own work. The real problem of Nigeria is that there's no revival. That's the only problem we have. There is no revival. How can Israel lose a battle when there's revival? Have you ever seen Israel lose a battle in revival? If the Philistines or the Assyrians or the Babylonians, they push Israel down, it's because there's no revival. In the days of revival of King David, the giant killers, who born you? But in your office, there's no revival because your garment is soiled. At home, there's no revival because there's no fire in your bosom. Your garment is soiled. Everywhere you go, nothing is happening. But that will change from tonight. I said that will change from tonight. Even your hair will have a fair mitre on it in the name of Jesus. And you stand in your place in the presence of them that are servants of God. You will take your position this year. God will place you in your proper position this year. In the name of Jesus Christ. I will give thee places to walk among those that stand by me. There are some few men and women that they are the people that stand around God. God will give you that a position in that place. Tonight, I could have given you another example, Isaiah. But Isaiah also cried, said, woe is me! I'm a man of unclean lips. There's nobody that didn't have this problem sometime. But those people that had this problem, they cried out. And something happened to them. God undertook for them. Can I ask you to close your eyes tonight as we pray very briefly before we go tonight? Your lack of revival is the problem. Your own lack of revival is the issue. Don't look at another brother. It is you. It is you. There is no oil on your head. There is no oil on your head because your garment has problem. And some of you, the Holy Ghost has already said, it is not blatant sin. It's not fornication. It's not fornication. It's not stealing. It's not adultery. It is righteousness that is not from God. He said, all your righteousness is like filthy rags. When you pretend to be what you are not, you are not praying, but you are making other people believe that you are praying well. That's self-righteousness. And it causes trouble. See, all your garments, they are like filthy rags before God. You are a hypocrite. Can you pray? Just a few minutes tonight. My garment is, Lord, my head lack ointment. My head lack ointment. I'm not a fornicator. I'm not stealing. I don't tell lies. I don't backbite. Your own is self-righteousness. You are going and doing many things, but in self-righteousness. But please, take time tonight. We are trying to enter a new year. We are about to enter a new year. Don't presume. Don't be presumptuous. Time is going. Life is passing on. You can't be singing in the choir and your head lacks oil. You can't be a man of the altar and Satan is resisting your right hand. You can't come to the altar with a defiled dress and sometimes it's torn. Nothing in my hand I bring. Lord, I can't die like this. Deliver me. Do something tonight, Lord. As I said, woe is me, and God helped him. God helped Isaiah. God can help you now. God can help you right now, brother, sister. This year, you must make progress. This year, you must see souls converted. This year, you must see many, many lives touched by God. This year, you must see healings in your ministry. But I see Satan standing at your right hand tonight. What is the matter? What is the matter? Joshua was there. The Bible says his garment was filthy. A brand plucked out of fire. Oh Father. Oh Father. Oh Father. Oh Father. Pasalabakanda. Oh Father. Sheketeri barikubasanda. Lord. Oh my Lord, have your way. In my life, here and now, there is no rest, there is no peace, until the Lord has his way. I place my life in your hand. Rest secure in your plan. Oh my Lord, oh my Lord, have your way. Can you place your life there? Place your life. Place your life. Can you plead for mercy tonight? You have spoken against your brother at his back. That's backbiting. You have become a hypocrite. People think you are a prayer warrior, but you only pray in church. There's no prayer in the closet. There's no closet life again. There's no closet anymore. Every prayer is only in the church building. That quarrel with your wife is getting worse. Lord. 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 Help me. Let your mercy triumph over judgment. Let your mercy triumph over judgment. Lord, don't let me die in this condition. You have a target for my life. Don't let me die without achieving that target, oh God. My words are no longer powerful. My hand is no longer powerful, oh God. Lord. Lord. Cry out tonight. Cry out tonight, sister. You can't sing again. You used to sing so wonderfully, but something happened. Something happened to you, my sister. Those prophecies have dried up from your mouth. Those visions, they are no longer there. Your garment. Your head has no oil because your garment. Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Don't allow me to go empty-handed. While on others you are calling this meeting, do not pass me by. All my goodness is like filthy rags, oh God. My thoughts are filthy. I'm full of sham and lust. I must put off this garment and put on a new garment, Christ. If I must help a head that does not lack oil. Lord, help me. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to that cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious peace. Draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord. Kabaraba sandala ba jig deleba buski deleba ba. Lord, draw me, Lord. Nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious blood. Draw me nearer. Lord, draw me away from the world. Draw me away from iniquity. Draw me, Lord. Draw me and change my garment. Where thou? Draw me near. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, Lord, I thank you because you are our Father. It is your good pleasure to see us bear fruit for you. Your investment in our life is for us to bear fruit. Tonight, we thank you that you didn't leave us to go anywhere we like and keep going down. Thank you. Thank you because, Lord, you have come to help us again. You are the one that came to help Joshua. You're the one that came to help Isaiah. Lord, we have come. Lord, we have come. We don't want to pretend that all is well. We don't want to pretend that everything is moving smoothly. We don't want to pretend that, Father, we are going up when we are going down. We just bow before you tonight. We know you want to lift us. Lift us above our fellows. Anoint us afresh with a fresh oil. Give us white garments, O God. Show us mercy, O God. Lord, we know you are willing. And as many as are stretching forth their hand tonight and saying, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. My garment is torn by strife. My garment is shattered. My garment is spotted by the flesh. My garment is stained by the world system. Lord, what I'm wearing is like filthy rags. I can't stand before you anymore. Lord, intervene like you did for Josiah tonight. Change this garment, oh God. Give me fresh new white garments, oh God. And other garments for ministry tonight. Lord, please respond to them. Grant their request tonight, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we don't want to enter this year. And then we shall not be fruitful again. We don't want to keep marking time in one place. We don't want to keep giving testimony of the past. It's not relevant. The past has passed. we beg you for mercy tonight. Naked, we come to you for dress. Helpless, we look to you for grace. Lord, block every leakage of grace from our lives, O God. Take away every filthy garment and give us a new garment, O God. Even our hair, put a fair mitre, O God. Lord, Lord, please, let this be the first day of February 2017, become the moment of change for us, O God. As you change the remnant, change our lives, O God. Change our testimony, O God. Make us attractive again to your church in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Now, everyone that says, Lord, I know I have a problem. My head is dry. There's nothing. And I can see my garment spotted. Just raise your right hand wherever you are. I want to pray for you particularly. Just your right hand, anywhere you are. Anywhere you are. Say, Lord, I know that my head is dry. There's no interest in the things of God. There's no joy. The joy has finished. My conscience is not clear. That's because my garment is not good. That's why my conscience, I can't stand here. Stand up on your feet and raise that hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. As I take this song, take your Bible. Just be coming. Come to the front. I want to have God change our garment tonight. Nothing in my hands I bring. Oh, simply to the cross I naked to the fortress, helpless. Oh, foul light to the fountain fly, fountain fly. Let me have myself. Oh, let thy word. Please, you can come quickly tonight. From the rear. Oh, be of sin the double kill. Bless me from its guilt and nothing in my hands. Please come. Simply to just your cross. Naked God. To the fortress, helpless Lord, to the fortress, oh Father, wash me, Savior. Not the labor. Nothing. Feel thy lost demand. Cold my zeal. Cold my tears. Forever flow. All for sin. Please, if you are coming, please come quickly. This is a critical moment. This is a very important moment. Don't postpone this. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eye, when I saw through walls unknown, see thee all before that day. Rock of Abraham, let me hide myself. I like to pray. Listen. If you are still in the congregation and you needed to be here, and you are being tormented, you're no longer sleeping well, the enemy is now resisting you. It was not like this before. Something happened, and you know it. Please come quickly. I'd like to pray. You are being tormented because of one unforgiveness, because of hatred. I don't like you to waste this moment. You are being tormented because there is something you are covering. Please, can you come? Thank you for coming. I like that torment to stop. You are caged. I like you to be released from the cage of the enemy tonight. Please come quickly. There is something that is happening. No more desire. Your garment, your head is dry. Everything has dried up. Thank you, Father. Anymore, you can't hide it from God. The earlier you begin to pray from tonight, don't wait till tomorrow. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, these are your children. They are named after your name. These are the people you bought with your blood. These are the ones you chose, like you chose Jerusalem. You didn't choose Babylon. You didn't choose Assyria. You didn't choose Egypt. You chose Jerusalem. You chose these ones from among millions. In your sovereignty, you chose them. You brought them close to you. Their brands plucked out of fire. Tonight, I rebuke Satan for your sake. In the name of Jesus. Satan, the Lord rebuke you tonight. These are brands plucked out of the fire. You have no portion. You have no memorial. You have no right in their lives. The Lord rebuke you tonight. In the name of Jesus. My Father, blessed is that man whose iniquity you forgive. To err is human, to forgive is divine. I just plead with you tonight for mercy. Let your mercy triumph over judgment. Let your mercy shine forth tonight in this place, O God. Let the blood wash them clean completely in the name of Jesus Christ. Change their garments. That testimony that they are wearing, change it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every torn garment, oh God. I don't say sew it. Don't sew it. Bring a new one. Bring a fair turban. Anoint their head afresh with oil. Every yoke on your neck, I break it tonight. The yoke of slavery to Satan and sin, I break it tonight in the name of Jesus. That fleshly garment, I remove it tonight in the name of Jesus. Every burden of the Assyrian on your back, I command it to be lifted off your back tonight in the name of Jesus. My Father, let them sleep well. You give your beloved one sleep. Let their bodies become strong. Let the guilty conscience be taken away from tonight. Let this night be a day of a new beginning for all of them, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, let there be a restoration. All the visions, all the trances, all the power, all the utterance, everything that was lost, we shall pursue, we shall recover. We shall overtake and recover all in the name of Jesus. Whatever the Amalekites stole from your life, whatever has given Satan the right to stand at your right hand, tonight we are going to recover all in the name of Jesus. Lord, glorify yourself. Let this thing not be superficial. Go deep tonight. On earth, everything that is of the flesh tonight. Put your shovel. Shovel out everything that does not glorify you in these lives, O God. Let them vomit everything that must be vomited. Cause that nothing shall be closed. Thank you, Father. We worship you. This work that you are doing, let it be permanent. Amen. Let it be permanent in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray.